Shift your morning into overdrive with Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell on Alternative Talk 1150.
Caffeinate your consciousness 6 a.m. weekdays with hot talk and great guests as you get your day underway with Mance and Mitchell, the most unusual radio show in Western Washington.
Three sets adore us, news buttons fear us. On Monday, our Gary Patterson, rock and roll historian, shares mysterious tales of premature deaths in the world of pop music.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour, or the second hour, of our first edition of Happy New Year 2012, Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Now, were you paying attention over the top of the hour? I hope you were, because I just had a shock and heard the promo for Gary Mann's show, which I'm used to being on Saturday mornings. But Mike, there has been a change.
There has. Starting tomorrow, January 2nd, Gary and Suzanne Mance and Mitchell in the morning move to 6 a.m. Monday through Friday right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
So 6 to 7 a.m. Monday through Friday?
You got it, yeah.
Holy moly. Now, they must be morning people.
Well, remember now, they're in Florida.
I didn't know if they moved to Florida. when did that happen? They didn't tell me.
We need to get you caught up, Martha.
What the heck is this?
No, let's see. In the summer sometime, probably around June, maybe July, Gary and Suzanne moved to Sarasota, Florida.
Well, they didn't realize they were supposed to tell me everything they're doing.
Well, maybe you missed the memo.
I guess I did. They moved to Florida.
Yeah, and so what they do they connect
via tie line
remotely into the studio, and so it's exactly just exactly the way that
Mystic Radio does. So it isn't that early for them.
No. But I have the honor and the privilege of studio producing their first show tomorrow. So that means I have to be
you
here.
You have to be here at
really
6 a.m.
Early,
you
have to be early. It's a holiday.
Now, you already said you get here 2 hours. Yeah, you're going to come in at 4 o'clock?
I get combat pay for this because that's going to be just awful. Not the show. No,
the show will be great.
The show will be fantastic. It's just
all right, y'all
me
be here
having
at 6
to get
a.m. tomorrow
get in
morning
that early.
To support Mike and send him lots of energy.
I just hope I don't oversleep. That won't happen, let me assure you. But
that's what I forgot
that's
to
my
tell
greatest
you
fear.
I always on Saturday night, because you know I don't get up early like I do on Sunday, except for radio.
I understand.
I always set 2 alarms because I have my clock radio.
Sure.
Which does have a battery backup, but I have it set to turn the radio on, and sometimes I'm out in the country in reception, there's nothing comes on. And so I do a regular wind-up clocky thing, well, battery clock that, well, we had a power outage last night.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, so anyway, 2 alarm clocks work for me, because, you know, I'm not a morning person either.
I use just one, and I think it's almost foolproof. I use my cell phone, because to be honest with you, I hate alarm clocks.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that some machine can wake you up and say, hey, get out of bed. I just find that offensive. But anyhow.
Yeah, I hear you.
Eventually, or occasionally, everybody needs a cell
phone. We're kind of a nice matchup.
So my solution is to take my cell phone, set the alarm, and I don't lay the phone down by my bedside. I put it all the way to the other side of the room.
Oh, so you have to get up.
So I have to get up to turn the darn thing off. And that... so far, knock on wood, has been fairly foolproof, or actually been absolutely foolproof.
Well, you know, and then they have those alarm clocks that they go off, but they jump off the nightstand and bounce around the room, so you have to get up and go chase them. Now, I find that offensive.
Who thinks of these things?
Well, people that can't get up.
the solution is, see, that's not right. That's not natural to your body. You should wake up. One of the things I like about being evenings is that I get, first of all, I go to sleep when I want to, and more importantly, I get up when I want to.
Yeah,
and it's not that
yeah.
I sleep all the time, but I awake naturally.
Right. Me too.
I think
makes
so much, such a big difference.
And then 9 times out of 10, if I set an alarm for something, I wake up just before it goes off anyway.
Yes.
Except on Sunday mornings, because it's just so weird. But anyway, so just so you know, hey, did y'all hear that Gary and Suzanne moved to Florida? I didn't know that.
They did. And again, the show, Gary Mance Show and Manson Mitchell, has now been consolidated into Manson Mitchell in the Morning.
From again, 6 to 7 a.m. Monday through Friday, they don't do anything on Saturday anymore.
That's correct. At least not for the time being. So
all right.
I lose them
because
I was their studio producer
on Saturday.
I'm disappointed about that. But they'll be in good hands, and
they always do a great show.
I like the idea of having them do an hour every day during the week.
Yeah.
And I think they're pretty excited too.
6 to 7, because then after that, 7 to 8 is Conscious Talk with Rob and Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great back to back.
Yeah, and I think. It'll be a win-win
well,
for everybody.
Early morning people can be right here.
That's right.
I won't be with you, but
I should say that both shows will also be archived on the website. So just in case you miss that first show, particularly with Manson Mitchell in the Morning, you can go to the 1150kknw.com and go to the archive page and pull up that show or any show for that matter.
Cool. All right, and I just want to remind you, I'm going to dump the rest of the details so we can get back to Roberta and jumping up dogs, but I want to tell you that we are looking for an Animal World call screener, and we need one most Sundays. The third Sunday of the month is not involved because Kevin and Kim have their own call screener, but it is essentially a volunteer position, although if you have a business, product, or service that you want to promote, and it's in line with our philosophy here on Animal World, we can trade for advertising. But we would love to have you in the studio if you've always wanted to be involved in radio and behind the scenes, and somebody to answer the calls so Mike doesn't have to run back and forth. That would be great. And if you're interested, shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com while we're on the air, or go to marthanorwalk.com, click on Contact Martha, send me an email to my home office address, or you can call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. And how about we get back now to Roberta in Redmond. We're talking about Boomer, her about a year old mini Australian Shepherd. He's neutered male, and he jumps up. So we were just going through the basics, and Roberta, you still with me?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. So first thing is that rule number one is dog, unless you're invited, jumping up is always wrong. Unless you're invited, jumping up is always wrong.
Okay.
Now, what I use, the command that I use is off. And Roberta, you said you had used down, but you also said you'd been to obedience school with him. And in most cases with dogs, when you go to obedience school, which is good to do with pretty much all dogs, down is going to mean lie down on the floor. You know, lay down. And so you can't use the same word to mean more than one thing.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. I think is the reason I continued to use down was because I started using it before I went to obedience school. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of knew what it was, what he wanted us, what we wanted him to do. So I sort of got slouchy and used.
Yeah. And just by the way, while I'm on the subject, because some people will teach sit and then they'll also teach down. And then every once in a while, they look at their dog and say, sit down. Well, what the heck does that mean?
Right.
Sit first, down second, whatever. And dogs don't get it, and it confuses them. So you got to keep it simple in the dog department. And since he is not 100% reliable on not jumping up, Roberta, it's good that we use a new word now.
Okay.
And that we have to be consistent and teach him what the deal is.
Okay.
So, now, you did mention that coming home is one of the times where he can get goofy.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
And so this is not necessarily related to jumping up, but this is just another general dog thing. And I know there's a bunch of you out there that got puppies, you know, around the holidays. And it is very wise to condition in a calm period for the dog when you come home. And I call it generally the 15-minute ignore. Because usually what we do with dogs, especially when they're young, you know, we don't want to leave them in the first place, so we make a big deal about leaving, and, oh, I'm sorry, and I don't want to leave you, but I love you, and I'll get back as soon as I can, and kiss, 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 and get the emotional energy all up. And it's emotional energy during the coming and going of the humans that can set dogs off for separation anxiety, household destruction, and then over-enthusiastic greetings when you get home. Because when they're little, we come home and say, oh, I missed you. I'm so glad to see you. Kiss, kiss, kiss. And they jump all over the place, and we think it's cute because they're little. And then in a few months, they're grown, and after a while, it's like a pain in the you-know-what. So it is better all the way around that you imply this, I call it 15-minute ignore. You can vary it a little bit. But what you do, Roberta, is when y'all come home, you are on ignore. So when you walk in the house, you don't look at your dog, you don't say anything to him, you don't touch or pet him, you walk over, around, or through them and go on about your business. And this works on the principle that ignored behavior will extinguish. So it usually gets worse before it gets better. And so the first couple times you do it, dog's going, oh, wait, I'm here, and they're all over the place. But then they get it that, oh, geez, when you come home, I'm not the first thing you pay attention to. So there's no reason to get excited. So you walk in the door, they say, oh, it's just you, and they stay calm. So you come in, you're on ignore until they've calmed down for at least 3 minutes. Then you can have a quiet greeting. Hi, Bozo. I'm glad to see, you know, sit and pet and that sort of thing. That will take out that exuberant peel them off the wall brand pogo stick behavior whenever you come home. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Now we'll get to the jumping up. There, I use, when I'm teaching anything to dogs, I use a 4 or a 5-step teaching sequence. And let's start with you're sitting and the dog comes over to you. This is how you handle. And my philosophy is nip it in the bud. Whatever the problem is, you want to deal with it when it is just beginning. You don't let them get totally out of control and jumping all over you before you do anything about it. So if you are sitting, remember the rule. If you jump up and you're not invited, it's wrong. So the first step of jumping up is the dog comes over, and generally the first thing they do is put their one foot or 2 feet up on you. So the instant that happens, the first part of the sequence, you need to tell them they're wrong. No. Then you tell them what's right. Step number two, off. Now, at this point, I want you to remember that you're not just teaching vocabulary here, and that dogs communicate on more than one level. And the most important part of the communication is the telepathic communication, which means whenever you think a thought or speak a thought, there's a picture in your mind, and the dog gets the picture in your mind. So when you say no, off, I want you in your mind to imagine the dog pulling its feet off of you and keeping its feet on the floor. Most people, when they're reprimanding a dog, they're thinking something different than they're speaking. You might be saying no, off, but in your mind you're thinking, holy crap, he's going to be jumping all over me. This is a pain in the rear. He's never going to stop. And the picture in your mind gives them a mixed message. So you always want to imagine in your mind what you want from the dog, not what you don't want. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So no, off. Now the third step is you must motivate the dog to do the appropriate behavior, which means you don't shove them off, you don't pull them off of you, because in that case, you're doing the work for them. They don't learn anything. Now, motivation can be positive or negative, but most of the case, when it's a teaching sequence and you want to extinguish bad behavior, I most often use and recommend a negative motivator. Now, so I say no, off, and then I pinch the toes. When you do something to a dog's feet, nervous system-wise, you trigger an automatic retract response. Head or body triggers a bite response. Now, that retract response is often suppressed, and sometimes the first time you do this and you have to pinch the toes, you have to pinch really hard until you activate that retract response. Once you activate it and they pull that foot back, then you rarely have to do any more than touch the feet. You don't get a chance to pinch before they're pulling them away because that retract response is activated. So you say no, and your tone of voice is a deeper, I mean business tone of voice.
Yeah, he's got that figured
okay.
out.
Excellent. Yeah. No, off, and then you start pinching the toe. Each time you pinch the toe, you repeat the word off, 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 until he pulls his foot back off of you. The instant he does that, you go to step four, which is praise, and you use the word good combined with the words you want him to associate and learn with the behavior. Good off, good off. That's a good off. Now, the praise should be verbal only. No petting. Because with dogs, touch overrides sound. So the instant you put your hand on him, he won't compute the vocabulary.
Okay.
Oh, Mike's raising his hand.
I just have a question. Should mm-hmm. you also include the dog's name so that...
No, he knows who you're talking to.
Okay.
Now, the exception to that would be if you have more than one dog and you need to direct a command at a specific dog.
Gotcha.
Otherwise, there's only one dog in the room that's jumping on you. And humans tend to abuse that, and pretty soon they're saying, Bozo, 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 and the name begins to mean no.
Are different things. Sure.
Right. Yep. And you don't want the name to mean anything other than listen up because I'm going to tell you to do something.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Makes sense.
All right. So foot comes up. No, off, pinch toe, repeat it until he pulls. Each time you pinch, off, off, off. Good. Good off. That's a good off. Now, when it comes to jumping up, I add a fifth step in this sequence. And that is then, now that he's off, you ask for a sit. And you do that by, if he knows the word sit, you can just tell him sit. But in most cases, he's interested in your attention. So I put my hand, palm up, down in front of the dog's nose and then lift it above his head. Because with a dog's body, when the head goes up, the butt goes down. It's like pump action. So you move that palm up above his head. His butt goes down. And you say, good sit. And then you pet him. Good sit. That's a good sit. If he stands up, you take your hands off and say, no, sit, good sit. And the petting continues as long as he sits for a reasonable period of time. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Now, dogs anticipate rituals. And what you are beginning to do here is you're teaching not only off, but you're teaching a sitting for greeting ritual. So the dog will begin to learn, oh, I got it. I don't go to people and jump up on them. I go to them and sit, and then they bend over and pet me. That's how I get petted.
Cool.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, in the case of we want him to be able to be invited to come up, if he comes over, and let's say it's a time where it's okay for him to jump up on you, before you've invited him, it's still a no off, good off. Sit. And then once he's sitting, you can say, good sit, and then give it a command like up or lap or jump, and then motivate him up and good lap, good up, or good, you know, whatever your command is for up. Okay. And then remember when you're done, don't just shove him off. Say, bozo, off. Then shove him off and good off. Okay. That way you teach the vocabulary for the whole thing. Now, Here is the glitch and what usually happens. People will get real good at the no off part. Off, off, off. But they get real bad at the praise part. Because what happens? Well, you say no, off, off, off with the toe pinches. And once the dog's off, you say good off, good off. And then as soon as you start praising, what does the dog do? He jumps back up again. Well, you need to understand that's normal, and we will take advantage of that. So, you say no, off, off, off. As soon as he's off, good off. A couple of calm, good offs. Then you're going to up the energy level to get him to jump up again. You're going to say, good, good off. And if he's still off, then flail your arms, raise your hands, get goofy. Good off, good, good off. Knowing full well that when you get goofy enough, you bring the energy up high enough, he's going to jump back up on you again. The instant he does, you flip a switch. No, off, 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 good off. That's a good off. Oh, what a no, off, off, good off. Good off. That's a good off. Oh, what a... No. Off. Off. Good off. That's a good off. Oh, what a good off. Oh, what a good... Oh, you're so good off. Oh, what a good off. So you actually are teaching here, it doesn't matter how goofy the human gets, the dog must stay off. Now, this is going to start to cover the bases for you when the energy goes up, like when you come home, when people come over, when things get exciting. The dog is learning impulse control, and no matter what the energy is, the dog stays off. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that would work really well when he's around the grandkids and they're excited and running around.
Right, yeah. Right, right. Now, the other things you need to know is the toe pinch is for when you are sitting. If you're standing up, you don't do the toe pinch because that can get into a hit-and-run situation. You know, they'll come and they'll bump you and jump up and hit you and then run away real quick so they don't get toe pinched. When you are standing up, generally speaking, the sequence works best. You say no, off, and then fold your arms and turn your back, which just cuts them off. And they want your attention from your face and hands. So when you say no, off, fold your own arms, turn your back, they say, no, I want your attention. When they calm down, turn back around, then ask for the sit, bend over for the good sit. Once he's getting to understand the vocabulary, you can coach him and you can warn him. When the excitement is up, off. Stay off. Good. Good off. And the key is teaching the sequence, but then throwing in after the no off exuberant praise to actually get him to mess up. So that then you can shut him down again and help him understand that it doesn't matter how excited everybody is, you still stay off. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Questions, and what didn't I cover that you need to know about?
One question I have as far as the toe pinch when you're sitting, is that going to cause him to be sensitive for me working with his toes as far as trimming his toenails? Because he's basically, he's pretty good at it now.
Yeah. No, because it's a whole different thing.
Okay.
It's like when I teach, I use timeout sometimes for curbing unwanted behavior or discipline. And I use, if they're crate trained and they sleep in crated at night or when you're gone, I use their crate for timeout. People say, oh, well, that's a bad, I don't want to use a crate for something bad. Well, keep it simple. It's not that big a deal. You know, the crate can be a timeout place as well as, you know, their den when you're gone or when you're sleeping at night. No, it's an okay thing to do.
Okay.
Now, you could also, there are other things you can substitute for that negative association. Like if you're standing up, for example, and you know you're not going to do the toe pinch, and if folding your arms, turning your back doesn't work, you can use a sound interruption. Which means you can use your hand and just bang the wall, hit the table, make a sharp, loud sound. You can roll up magazines, put a rubber band around them, have them next to the door. So if he jumps up a lot at the front door or next to the couch on the table. And you'd never use it as a weapon or threatening, but you pick it up to bang the table or hit the wall to make a big sound. Because you can really impress them with your power by making big sounds. And the sound will interrupt the behavior and works just like the negative motivator.
Okay. Yeah, so
You could use a squirt bottle. You could use a rattle can. See,
well,
that,
I clap my hands. That works really good to interrupt and to get his attention.
And that would generally work temporarily, but
okay.
A clapping hand is not something that we generally recommend long term for a sound interruption because they recognize it too easily.
Okay. All right.
And then make sure that you supervise, and if it's around the kids, you may even want to have him drag a leash around because it makes it easier for you to get a hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you can walk up behind him, and as he goes, you step on the leash, and when he goes to bounce up at the kids, he corrects himself.
Right.
And but also, I would definitely teach the kids about the ignore when you first come in. So they don't come in saying, oh, yeah, I'm all excited to see the dog.
No, at this point, they're too young for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then it's all adult department supervision.
Yep.
And then be sure that you're teaching him a command for putting his feet up. It could be pause up, and then it could be jump to jump. I mean, because you can teach him to jump in your arms. You can teach him to lap. And Aussies, of course, are part of the Einstein department in the dog world.
Yeah.
And contrary to popular belief, smart is not easy in the dog world.
True.
The hard dogs are the Dumbos and the Einsteins. The easy ones are the middle of the roaders, not too smart, not too dumb. So the Einsteins are the ones that keep me in business because a lot of times they're smarter than the people they live with. And here's the deal: when you're doing jumping up and doing the off exercise with a smart dog, smart dogs learn real fast. Usually 1 to 3 repetitions, we got it. With a smart dog, though, your patience is needing and follow through because a smart dog is smart enough to test. So Boomer might come over and jump up on your right side. You go through the off. He says, okay, can't do that. So then he runs around, tries to jump up on the left side. Maybe that'll work. No. Okay, I'll try in front of you. Oh, that didn't. Okay, I'll try behind you. All right, it didn't work when you're sitting. I'll try it when you're standing. Okay, it didn't work in this room, but I'll try it in the other room. And so you need lots of patience and follow through to generalize. Okay, and that's where you need your patience with the smart dog. Now, the dumb dogs, your patience is needing in the teaching phase because it takes them forever for the light bulb to go on. And you may repeat it over and over and over and all day long, and by the end of the day, the light is just starting to go on. Y'all go to sleep, and the next day, it's totally off again. And you got to do it over and over and over again. But so you just got to be patient. Once the light bulb goes on for a Dumbo, it burns brightly forever. And they got it. But so you need your patience in the follow-through because he will push and test.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Perfect.
Okay. Anything else on your list? Are you good?
Well, I have a couple other things, but I'll save it.
Okay.
Because you've a whole lot of time with this, and I really appreciate it.
Well, but that's what I'm here for, see, and I don't do slam dunk radio, so and that's what you guys need to know. If you've got a behavior training or healing issue with your animal, I'm going to spend what time I need with you to help you resolve it. And see, I don't have a if I had a lineup of calls, then I might expect, but I don't. It's New Year's Day.
Oh, okay. Well,
so if there is anything else you want to talk about, I'm happy to talk with you.
He's fairly good at when he doesn't bark a lot, but when I've tried to teach him quiet and no barking, and he does one of those things where he'll either continue to bark or he'll do the woof, the really low, not my mouth type. But so I guess I'm looking for a better.
Okay, under what circumstances is he barking inappropriately?
People outside and people outside the car, and he doesn't do it excessively, but what I would like is for him to, if I say quiet or I say no barking or whatever command I'm supposed to teach him, I'd like him to pretty much stop.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So there's several things here involved with that. And the first thing is that when we're dealing with barking, the sequence changes to begin with. Remember, because the four steps, tell them they're wrong, tell them what's right, motivate the appropriate behavior, and praise.
Mm-hmm.
With barking, if you tell them what's wrong first, with dogs, in the dog world, the pack always supports the leader. So what happens with barking is dog starts barking, woof, 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 people start yelling, no, no, no. Well, no, no, no sounds a whole lot like woof, woof, woof. And a lot of times dog misinterprets, doesn't know you want him to be quiet. He thinks you're barking with him. So initially I have you up step three to the first position, and we use the negative motivation to quiet the dog before you verbally engage until they truly understand the vocabulary and what is wanted. So, barking starts, you got to stop the barking. Sound interruption is generally the best way to do that. Bang the wall, hit the table in the car. You can have a rolled up magazine and wrap the dashboard. I particularly like what's called a little screecher, which is a little mini like air horn. And it's a little canister, and they last for so many screeches, but you punch the top of them and they make a sharp, high pitched whistle sound, and which is unpleasant to dogs and interrupts them right away. And, of course, they look at the source of the sound. And if you need a screecher, you can get them from me, but you can also get them from Canine Behavior Center on Union Hill in Redmond.
Okay.
Or you can order them directly from the company that makes them, and I don't have one with me, but you could call me or email me after the show, and I can give you that information. But barking starts. The first thing you do is bang, stop the barking. Second thing, tell him what was wrong. No, tell him what's right. Be quiet. Now, you do not use no barking. And that is because, remember, the telepathic communication, and by the way, herding breeds are the best at telepathic communication because they have been bred to need to use it. You know, when an Aussie's working and has to control a whole herd of sheep, he's got to know what they're thinking and what they're going to be doing ahead of time so he's in the right place at the right time.
Okay.
So they're very strongly telepathic. And telepathic communication comes in through the right brain. The right brain does not accept negatives. Therefore, don't and no statements do not transfer visually. So if you say no barking, no jumping, no chewing, in the picture the dog gets, there is no no. They simply get barking, jumping, or chewing. So it's a mixed message, which is why a lot of dogs do the wrong thing all the time or just tune you out and don't listen because it doesn't make sense.
So how does we use the no command. He seems to understand the no command by itself. So.
Right, because no means whatever you're doing is wrong, stop it.
Okay.
You want to follow with what's right.
Okay.
No, be quiet. And then, now, once he understands what be quiet means, then you go back to the regular sequencing. No, be quiet, sound if you need it, and then good quiet. That's a good quiet. Now, that will be enough to establish the quiet behavior that you want. But you need another procedure after this because... You mentioned that he barks at people outside,
mm-hmm.
and he barks at people around the car.
Right.
And remember, there's nothing wrong with barking. Dogs are supposed to bark.
Right.
But we have to teach them to control it and when it's appropriate. And for a dog, anyone outside of the family is considered a bad guy. And when they encroach upon your territory, which is around your car, around your house, it's normal for a dog to think they should bark to chase them away. Well, we humans are more social, and we want them to be quiet, so you need to teach them another exercise. I teach friends. And friends, I teach the word whenever they lick you. That's the most friendly, submissive greeting they can show. It just means they want to be friends, no threat. Does he ever lick?
Yeah, not excessively, but.
Okay, well, if he does, you can add a word. Good friends. Friends, good friends. Or you can teach the exercise by putting a little butter or juice, leftover cooking something on the back of your hand. Don't let him see you do that. Put your hand out and say, make friends. And when he licks your hand, say, good friends. That's a good friend. And then you've got a word that you can use to associate. So when you see somebody outside, if he's not barking, you can say it's a friend. Okay? It's a friend. And to him, that's going to begin to mean that you need to accept their presence. Doesn't mean you run up to them and lick them, but you accept them because we consider them friends. Now, so first step is, you know, you set it up and practice. Go take your car to the grocery store and sit outside the main entrance so there's lots of people walking by. And establish the quiet first. When you're dealing with a behavior like this, the first step is control the unwanted behavior. The second step is then change the way they feel about the stimulus. So, you're there, person goes by, he starts barking, sound interrupt, no, be quiet, good quiet. Go through that and tell, okay, people can walk by now while I'm here and he doesn't bark. All right, so now we're going to change the way he feels about people walking by. So let's say maybe you're sitting in your front window and you've been practicing this. You can even pay kids to run up and down in front of your house or, you know, do it at the time people are coming home from work or whatever. Once the barking is controlled, you get little food rewards, tasty little food rewards that he really, really likes, and they only need to be large enough to taste. So here comes a guy in front of the house. You say, friends. Oh, boy, it's a friend. You start giving him little food rewards. As long as the person's walking by your house, you give him food rewards. As soon as the person's gone, no more food. Next person comes, friend. It's a friend. You get food. Walks by. Smart dog gets this real quick. Oh, geez, I better rethink that. I always thought everybody walking by was a threat. I should defend our territory. Mom says they're friends. I get treats. Hey, people, walk by my house all the time. Okay? So you teach the appropriate manners. You control the bad behavior, the unwanted behavior, and then you change the way they feel about the situation. It's like you got a neighbor that comes home every night at midnight and slams their car door and the dog barks. Well, then plan to stay up for a while. You hear you quiet the dog. Once you got the behavior quieted, then do little jollies and oh boy, the neighbor's home, door slams, you get cookies. Pretty soon the dog won't bark at all when they hear the neighbor's car door slam.
Yeah, I've tried to do that with a person that drops the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he barks when they bring it down the walkway, when they go by, I mean, when they come to our place and they go to the neighbors. But he still does the woof. And then the other thing, how do you deal with it when you're traveling, you're in a motel, you can't control, you know, when people are walking by and you don't want to wake up?
Well, as you, if you do a good job of establishing your leadership and teaching him so he learns to learn from you.
Okay.
As he's getting older, see, you then need to develop the skill of the telepathic communication. Because the first step with dogs is always establish the leadership. Because if you could be the greatest communicator on the planet, but if they don't respect you as the alpha, it's going in one ear and out the other. Once he knows you're in charge, then that then gives you the option of explaining to him. Okay, like you would say, now look at, we're traveling. It's going to take us so many lights and darks to get to Grandma's house. And when we're not driving, we're going to be staying in of somebody else's house, and we're in this room. And you need to know that while we're in the room, there are other rooms next to us, and other people are going to be driving up. They're going to be going into their room. They're going to be walking by the room, and anybody going to another room or walking by is a friend. And I want you to ignore them. If they bang on the door or they try to get into our room, then you can bark. But as long as they're just walking by or you just hear them outside, you are to ignore them and be quiet. Okay. Now, you can't, that doesn't work 100% with a young dog. You've got to have the time to teach them to learn from you and to be alpha. Okay, but it works very well as your relationship develops and you get to a point when you really train and you really establish your leadership and you teach vocabulary, you're good about visualizing what you want and this, whatever you're speaking, you're imagining the same thing, especially with a herding dog, then you get to the point that you never have to use training again because you simply explain to the dog. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I already do that. I already tell him things, and you know, some of the stuff I think he gets and some of it he doesn't. But
and then you might have to remind him, and so you might need, you know, a little magazine in the hotel room so that you can wrap the nightstand or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or, you know, you have a good, he already knows what quiet means. So good quiet. Or you might be prepared with little treats. And so every time you hear a noise around the room, it's, oh, boy, friends, you know, oh, boy, neighbors, oh, boy, and he gets little treats. You know, see, if you're on top of things, you'll work out little things around all of these things. And the best way to establish leadership is to control everything. And it's the one time in our human world you can get away with that. Dogs need dictators. Cats need staff. You serve cats, but you control dogs, and that's what makes them emotionally and psychologically stable.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yep, that's great.
All right, now we need to take care of our advertisers and sponsors, so this time I will let you go.
Thank you very
But
much.
Trial this, and then the first Sunday of next month will be our next Behavior Training and Healing Sunday, so how about you call me back and let me know how you're doing with all this stuff.
Okay, great.
Okay?
I will.
Cool, and make a list in the meantime so we can cover all the bases.
Okay.
All great. Right, thanks Roberta. Time. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Bye-bye. All righty then. You're listening to Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It's Behavior Training and Healing Sunday. You can call us anytime for the rest of the show at 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. You can shoot us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. We will continue with current events right after we take care of our advertisers and sponsors, the most important part of the show, because without them, there's no us. So please pay attention and support them and stay with us for current events right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know even if you feed the highest quality all-natural food, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. That's why Designing Health created Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all-whole-natural raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friend's food, add in the missing link, a little cool water to mix it up, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3, 6, and 9 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. Missing link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a missing link formula. For dogs, one for cats. There's a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats. And other house critters as well, like rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, and the like. There's a bird formula and a horse formula, and missing link with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So I want you to ask for the missing link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or you can go directly to Designing Health. You can call them at 1-800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and equine ligament therapy.
For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Join their Facebook page for exciting announcements and the latest class updates.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
Robin Alexis is offering a limited number of beautiful Golden Healer Lemurian crystals. These crystals are used by healers for their ability to magnify the flow of vital life force throughout the body, to promote healing, to reduce fear and anxiety, to induce a state of deep relaxation, and accelerate tissue healing. These crystals are also powerfully energized to activate the crown and solar plexus chakras, which assist you to obtain a more conscious connection to spirit. Golden Healer Lemurian crystals are a marvelous tool for doing any kind of energy work, meditation, or healing. In addition, these special crystals have been blessed by Robin Alexis at sacred sites at Mount Shasta. You can purchase these crystals for $22.95 from Mystic Store at robinalexis.com. Or email Bob at robinalexis.com for details. There is only a limited supply of these Lemurian crystals, so they're offered at a first-come, first-served basis.
Woo! Hey, y'all! Happy New Year! It's 2012! Woo! Get those roosters crowing! Hey, you remember that for tomorrow morning. You better need some roosters crowing for you. I'm talking to Mike Roberge, Animal World Production Engineer. It's Martha Norwalk here. Thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on New Year's Day. We are live. But poor Mike has got to be back here before 6 a.m. tomorrow morning to kick off the new Gary.
Much earlier than
Manson
that.
Mitchell in the morning.
Manson
that's what we're
Mitchell
it?
In the morning.
From
every
6 to 7 a.m. every weekday morning now. Woohoo.
Yeah, live.
But you're indirect. Only doing it tomorrow.
Just tomorrow. I'm filling in for Benny Mathers and... He'll be taking the reins on Tuesday going forward.
Right, so, and Benny's a morning person.
He is.
And besides, he lives close.
That's true.
And he's got two twin babies.
He does.
Under a year old, I believe.
They're just really cute.
I haven't seen them. Have you? You've seen them?
I ran into him in the hallway once, and it was like, wow, these guys are so cute.
You know,
so
you got
cute.
Twins. You get your hands full.
Absolutely.
So he's used to no sleep.
I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So anyway,
It'll be an early morning. But tune in, It's a whole new way of waking up on the station.
Yeah, hey, Martha Norwalk here, and we are cruising our way through New Year's Day morning. And there's no other reason for you to be doing anything else. I mean, it's a pretty nice day outside, but you should be taking the day off. And there's no football worth watching because none of our teams are doing anything. So, I don't know if you're a sports guy.
Yeah.
Did you hear? Geez, all the Husky staff got clocked. They just got
not,
fired.
Well, not all.
Pretty much.
The defensive coordinator and two defensive assistants got released.
Yeah, I wonder if the other team did the same thing. Because, I mean, when it was like the all-time high-scoring bowl game, Alamo Bowl.
It was incredible. It was so painful to watch that game. And I'll confess, I bleed purple. So it was a really tough game to watch.
Well, you see, we no longer have a mixed group here.
That's true.
A Husky and a Cougar. We are all dogs in this studio now.
But there was no joy in Mudville after the Huskies lost to Baylor on Thursday.
Well, it was a really close one, pretty much, except towards the right at the end.
Everybody was scoring. There was just no defense. And it was I'm not going to get into detail because I do follow the Huskies very closely, but it was their defensive performance was just awful. And
a
lot of it has
it?
To do with
but
coaching
a little better than
and
ours.
Defensive defensive calls. And towards the end of the game, when it was still a contest, granted a high-scoring contest, the defensive coaching and the defensive leadership was absolutely appalling. So I am not surprised or even upset at the changes that the UW made.
Oh, I never am, because it's kind of like fireworks for me. Get that reference? Okay, well, I grew up Husky. I grew up in Laurelhurst, which is right by the stadium.
Sure.
We walked, and my parents went to the game every single day, and it was way back when you could afford to go to football games.
Right.
And my brother and I mean, I think before we could talk, we were sitting in the bleachers in the end zone, and my brother would go to the dugout after every game and get chin straps. And I would go to the we still had am I dating myself? Wooden goalposts covered with crepe paper.
Sure.
And so the girls would go knock down. This is great. The guys would go get chin straps. The girls would knock down the goalposts and take the crepe paper. So my brother's room was wallpapered with chin straps and banners, and my room was wallpapered with crepe paper from the goalposts.
Definitely a different era.
Yeah. But that's how I grew up. And so football was in my blood. And, we got to do current events and stuff. But if the phones don't ring, I got to tell you my best Rose Bowl story. Because it's animal related. And I still, it was one of my best New Year Day. My parents didn't think so. My mom in particular, but it was fun. So I'll tell you about that. But anyway, so it's kind of like fireworks. I realize that if nobody needs to earn the gazillions of dollars that professional sports players do anymore, and if we altered that, if the money we were spending on all of that, we did doing all the things that you said with the firework money, what a different world this would be.
Yeah.
So, oh boy, if they didn't change the channel on fireworks, the problem maybe they did on football and all of that. But that's kind of where I am with all of that. But didn't now who's our car? It's not Kardashian. It's car. Who's the
Sarkisian?
Sarkisian. Didn't when he came? Didn't he bring the defensive coordinator with him or the defensive coach?
Absolutely.
So he canned his friend.
And the highest paid assistant coach.
Yeah, he's like $600,000
in the conference.
Or something.
Yep. So there's a buyout, so he will get that a year's worth of salary. As will the two assistants who are in the six figures.
See, picture.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so he canned his friend.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm not sure, and I'm just speculating here, but I'm not sure that was entirely his decision.
That's
because
you can't say
the boosters and the alumni and the, you know, very top end of the upper campus probably put a lot of pressure on him. So that decision may have already been made for Coach Sark. But you got to do something. You just cannot have a showing like that and expect to continue to play the game and recruit.
The same thing with the other guys, and we just lost at the end. So, I mean, you could
have. But they won.
Well, yeah, the other guys won. Yeah.
And it does matter. You can't lose a game like that and expect to recruit. And, you know, as you said, the college football is big business. Yes, mm-hmm. the athletes mm-hmm. don't get paid, but the schools and the conferences
sure does.
Make buku dollars.
Yeah.
Huge dollars. We're talking billions here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyhow, I'll get off my soapbox.
Well, we were both on a soapbox.
I guess we were sharing the soapbox.
Yes, yes. And so, okay, it's up to us. We can professional sports and fireworks, and we take care of all the people who can't, for whatever reason, can't take care of themselves.
I think that's a great way to start the year.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all part of the same whole.
That's right.
And there's enough for everybody, and nobody needs too much.
Or too little.
Or too little.
Find that happy ground.
Happy ground.
Right in the middle.
All right. So you see, we just solved everybody's problems.
We did.
Yeah.
And we're rapidly closing in on the second hour.
All right. Yeah. So we better get cracking here. And how about, are you ready for current events? He is. He's got the right music and everything. Woohoo. There are them general cats. Alrighty then, speaking of entertainment, I told you already that Peg from Olympia sent me this email that there is a coupon on Groupon.com for 51% off Eagle Watching Tour on the Skagit River. Better jump on it if you want it. www.groupon.com. I want to remind you, and if you can't write down the details, go to the Animal World website, www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on Current Events. Scroll down. Oh, and you know what also is on Current Events that I keep forgetting to say?
No.
Is the YouTube video of the OWL release. And by the way, because I don't have my new computer set up yet, I can't watch YouTube. So will you play that for me sometime today before I leave?
I have the website up, and it's right in front of me, so we can definitely take a look
at it.
Okay,
because I haven't seen it.
If you haven't seen it, check it out.
Is it good?
Very well done. It just sort of touches the heart. Very nice.
Okay, well, then I need to see it.
And you can scroll up a little bit and see the new picture.
Buzzy's back. My big pistol in a little package. And oh my gosh, I've never had a lion in an Abyssinian suit. I call them cougars, monkeys and dogs in cougar suits. But he even walks like a lion. I'm wondering in all, you know, the 15, 20 years that he hasn't been with me, I'm wondering if he was a lion. Maybe I'll ask, maybe Robin and I will tune in next week. Speaking of current events, next week we are doing the first Robin and Martha Sunday of the new year, and gifted Mount Shasta Mystic. Robin Alexis will be with me for the show. We will be tuning in to different animal situations around the world to find out what the animals have to say, what we need to learn, how we can help, all that sort of stuff. We're going to get to those ancient whale skeletons in Chile. We'll talk to Lolita, the whale in Florida, see what's going on with her. Got a bunch of stuff here. If I ever get to news, there's some more current stuff we're going to be talking about. But we'll also tune in to, maybe Buzzy and see what's going on. I haven't told you about, Kim told you last week, you know, that Kim got a new puppy for Christmas.
That's right.
Because her dog Shasta passed. Well, are you ready for the you-know-what alerts?
No.
Oh, well, get ready, because next hour, if I get to it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Because, I mean, I just wasn't ready right now, but I'm always ready. But I'm always working ahead, too. I'm always a couple steps ahead of you.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. The doo-doo-doo-doo alert, Kim and I went there together.
You said the doo-doo.
Yeah.
You said the doo-doo alert. I just thought that was funny.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
I know. But what I heard was doo-doo.
But that's because I didn't say the word. Anyway.
Please continue. Don't
Kim
mind
and
me.
I went there together on the phone related to her new puppy and Shasta, her dog, passing. And she gave me permission to tell you what happened. It's really cool.
We can talk about that in the next hour.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, let me quickly do this so we can wrap up reasonably on time. Remember that Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife's Carilion Bear Dog Cash was injured and had to have his knee rebuilt to the tune of about $6,000. And we are looking for donations to help pay his vet bill. And there is a address that you can send the checks, care of Martha Jordan, to WDFW's Cash Fund. Free spay and neuter for pit bulls and pit bull mixes at NOAA in Stanwood. They're on Wednesdays, January 11th and January 25th. you got to qualify, but reasonable guidelines, you can earn up to $45,000 a year. Now, that's a lot. And but you got to call for an appointment. Remember, Meow's got 2012 cat calendars available benefiting the shelter. And then Northwest Stream Center. I love this. Beavers, the best damn movie ever. Free showing at the Northwest Stream Center. And that would be on Friday, January 13th. Oh, we have a Friday. We have a January 13th coming up. Well, how about that?
First one of the year. First month.
Yeah, so that's like two Fridays from, yeah, from last Friday. Anyway, Friday the 13th at 7 p.m., Beavers, the best damn movie ever. And you need to call to reserve a space because space is limited and it's free. Call the Northwest Stream Center, 425-316-8582. They are in Everett. And I think that's all I need to tell you. And be here next week for Robin and Martha Sunday. And that is it. How about we all just close out here? Going to run you the fall into winter tip because winter's not done. And Mike says it's going to get colder and more moisture. That means maybe snow. So keep your animal friends healthy. We'll come back. I'll tell you about, remind me, Mike, I'll tell you about my best Rose Bowl as a kid. It involves fowl, waterfowl. Ooh, it's a good story. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.